Hello and welcome to another People's Church service. A very special welcome to anyone who's joining us for the first time. And to everyone else, welcome back. Romans 10 verse 17 says, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. We are delighted to have you join us in hearing the word of God this morning. And as we get into today's word, let me hand over to Mr. Valempini with our offering message.
Good morning, church. Welcome to our Sunday morning service. I'll be sharing with you an offering message. Before I read the verses that I prepared for you, I will share with you a brief story that something that happened to me during the week. As I was driving to school to drop kids on Tuesday, I was thinking about James 1, verse 27. I was just reflecting on what it means to be a Christian and what it means to be religious. Interestingly, on my way back, as I was getting out of the car after I parked at home, there was this white guy standing at my gate who greeted me and introduced himself by giving me the direction to his house and actually giving me his house number. He also asked just 20 rands from me and explained why he was asking for this 20 rand. He also explained to me that they haven't been receiving any form of income since March. Why? Because the wife is running a nursery school, which was closed in March because of COVID-19. And the man himself was out of job because he was working for a self-employed construction guy who was also on the verge of bankruptcy. It actually touched me because he was only asking for 20 rand to buy electricity so that he could run his refrigerator. He was only worried about what is in the refrigerator, probably it's food that can last him a month or so, so he wanted to preserve it. The question is he the only person who's going through this? No, there are a number of people who are going through such trying times. We're all exposed. Some are really heavily affected by this. Some are not so much affected by this COVID. Let's also read James 2, verse 15 to 16, which reads, if a brother or a sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and none of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful of the body, what do it profit? So if you see the people who are hungry, the people who are in pain, the people who are suffering, and you simply pray for them and hoping that everything will be fine, what does that profit? We need to go out of our way, call the people, visit the people, and also share our resources with them. Even the little that we have, let's go out of our way and share with them. Interestingly, during COVID, you can actually save a life by wearing a mask. That's a form of giving a life to the next person. If you don't wear a mask, by not wearing a mask, that can have a ripple effect. You can infect 10 people who in 10 each infect another 10 people. Then the ripple effect of that could be a loss of life down the line. So when you wear a mask, you are giving a life. You can also contribute to our COVID-19 relief fund that can go a long way to help those who are in need in our body. You can also visit people, just call people, encourage them, be with them, support them emotionally and otherwise. Please also know that even our church is contributing in this COVID relief fund. So let's join hands and try to make things better for those who are more than exposed by this COVID-19. James 1 verse 27 actually reads, which I simply mentioned at the beginning, pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, in their pain, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. So let's try by all means to visit the poor, visit the widows, and those who are in pain. May God bless you. Let's pray. God Almighty, we pray before you that you may stretch our faith, and so also that you may bless us, so that may be blessing unto men. As you said to Abraham, that you, I'm blessing you, so that in your blessing you may bless others. We pray that our blessings may also be a blessing unto men. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Good morning, church. Welcome to the month of July. Today marks exactly 100 days since the lockdown began. You and I have made it through. This all by the grace of God. When I was reminded that this is the first Sunday of the month again, time for the Holy Communion message, I was arrested by the same sentiment and thought that always comes to my mind. Communion Sunday should never be a meaningless tradition, a box-ticking exercise. Oh, it is the first Sunday of the month again. Let's quickly grab bread and juice so we can partake in communion. No, this is an exclusive time set aside by us as the church to remember what Christ did for us. To us, it is a monthly memorial service we do in obedience as Jesus has commanded us to do. I love this account in 1 Corinthians 11, verses 24 to 26. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same manner, he took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. So, firstly, Christ says to you and I that as we break the bread, we should do this in remembrance of him, his body which was broken for our sakes. As I reconnect and reconcile myself to the reality of Christ's broken body hanging on the cross, thinking of that word broken, like this bread, it makes this event that happened 2,000 years ago come alive in me. The amazing love that is represented by that word broken, the type of love I can never understand. Then Christ also says to you and I, the cup represents the new covenant in his blood. As we drink it, we should remember the new covenant that cleanses our sins. So we first remember Christ's broken body hanging on the cross, which is symbolized by the broken bread. And with the juice, we remember the new covenant in Christ's blood, the covenant that cleanses our sins. Not only should we remind ourselves of this, but we should identify ourselves personally to this. It must be a personal engagement, a personal time out. Before we partake today, let's remember that the Holy Communion is not a tradition or a ritual that we should observe, but a blessing to be received by us. This is a good time to stop and recall what Jesus has given us. Let's partake with sober minds and grateful hearts. Thank you. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this monthly memorial service we get to have with our church family. What a beautiful memorial it is, as we get to remember the living Christ. And it's not a memorial for the dead. Let us never let this amazing table degenerate to become just another church tradition that we get to observe every month. Let its significance resonate in us every time we do this. As we sometimes slip into dead works in order to please you, remind us, O Lord, that Calvary covered it all. We just need to accept and invite you into our lives. We thank you, Father, for the privilege of being able to do this, even if we do it virtually. In the mighty name of Jesus we pray.
So, with everything that is happening right now in the world, I just wanted to take this time to just encourage you, especially those of us that are really feeling that, we can't hold on any longer. And so I just wanted to take this time to just encourage us to continue to trust in God. But before we do that, like Mr. Valentin has already mentioned, I just also want to take this time to thank each and every one of you that have been giving faithfully, that because of your giving, we have been able to help those that have been hardest hit by the current crisis that we are facing globally. And so if you are a person who is having a need right now, whether it's need for basic food items, please don't hesitate to reach out to the church, to reach out to us, and we will help wherever we can. And if you are a person who is able to give, please continue to give faithfully, and we'll be able to continue assisting those that need our assistance. And so before we go into the Word of God, let us just bow our heads and close our eyes and pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much once again for yet another beautiful day that you have given us, Lord. We pray, Father, as we are about to go into your word, that you give us ears that we can hear what you are saying into our lives. Father God, help us to open our hearts to receive what you have to say into our lives today so that we may be better people, Father God, and continue to be changed to be the people that you want us to be. Pray all this in Jesus' mighty name. And everyone said, amen. Cool. So today I wanted us to just go through a scripture that is found in the book of 2 Kings, chapter 7. So it is a very interesting story that also has some very weird details. Some of them are actually disturbing, but it is in the Word of God, and I would encourage you to go and read it. So there's definitely a lot that is going on there, and we will not be able to cover all of it. But we'll just focus on verse 1 and 2, and then I'll give you the context of the story. So it's found in 2 Kings chapter 7, verses 1 and 2, and this is what it says. It says, "But Elisha said, 'Hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord, tomorrow about this time, a seah of fine flour shall be sold for a shekel, and two seahs of barley for a shekel, at the gates of Samaria.' Then the captain on whose hand the king leaned said to the man of God, 'If the Lord himself should make windows in heaven, could this thing be?' But he said, 'You shall see it with your own eyes, but you shall not eat of it.'" As I've said, you know, that this is a very interesting account. of something that happened, you know, so it is a true story. These events actually took place. But there's a larger context within which this is written. And the context, if you read in the previous chapter, so 2 Kings chapter 6, what happens there is that the Israelites, or specifically the Samaritans, the people that were living in the city of Samaria, were besieged by an enemy. So their city was encircled by the enemies all around. And the enemies had cut their food supply to such a degree that there was a famine now in the city. People were starving. Some people were even starving to death because of the shortage of food, because of the enemy that was around. And so this is what happens there. And this prophet, the man of God, Elisha, he has a prophecy. And he speaks into that current situation that they found themselves in. And he says, surely by this time tomorrow, within 24 hours, that at the gate, you know, they will be able to sell flour for such a low price. And they'll be able to get, you know, the basic necessities and items of food that they need. But they'll be able to get them at such low prices. So one of the things that happens, that was happening around that time, is that because of the shortage of food, there was no food. People were starving. They were even beginning to eat donkeys. And if you know a little bit of the teachings in Israel at that time, they understood that donkeys were not even fit to be eaten because they were unclean animals. But because of this, shortage of food and famine that they found themselves in, they were even eating donkeys. It even says that they were selling pigeon droppings, so droppings of pigeons. They were selling them at the gate. You know, they would weigh them and sell them, and people would buy them because there was no food. And this prophet has the audacity to say, within 24 hours, we'll be able to eat fine flour. We'll be able to eat barley. We'll be able to eat, you know, food that we currently are not eating right now. But it will be available in such huge supplies that the price of it will be so affordable. And so the man, you know, the commander who was listening to him, he says, surely if God could even make windows in heaven, could this even be possible? And I want to ask you, how would you have responded if you were in that situation? If you were in the situation where there was so much famine, you know, there is no food. People are eating pigeon droppings. Some people were even eating their own children. And this man of God, this prophet, has the audacity to say, tomorrow we'll be able to eat flour. Tomorrow we'll be able to eat barley, to be able to buy these things at a price that is even cheaper than the price we are paying right now for pigeon droppings. And this man, the commander, did not believe. And if I were to put myself in their shoes, I probably wouldn't believe as well, you know, because one of the things that we are so good at as human beings is to obsess on the how, on the question how, you know, how is it going to happen? And even a wife, you know, a wife is not satisfied with her husband just saying, I'll make a plan, you know, I'll make it happen. She wants to know how. She's like, make me understand. How are you going to provide food for us when you don't even have a job? How are you going to be able to provide for your family when we are in the current crisis that we find ourselves in? We obsess over this question of how. And that is the thing that usually blocks us from believing God, from believing the word of God, from believing what God is saying into our lives, because we cannot see it happening, you know, physically. We cannot see it happening in our current situation that we find ourselves in. We ask, how is this going to happen? How is this possible? But it was the word of the Lord nonetheless, and it did come to pass. And so you may also be in a situation right now where you cannot see any way possible that God is able to bring you out of the situation that you are in, you know. But I would like to encourage you to not let that stop you from believing God. The fact that you cannot see how God is going to make it happen shouldn't stop you from believing that God is able to make it happen. In Jeremiah chapter 32 verse 27, this is what God says. He says, behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is anything too hard for me? And the answer to that is that there is nothing that is too hard for God. There's nothing that God cannot do. He is the creator of the heavens and the earth. He is the one who parted the Red Sea for the children of Israel to be able to walk across. So he is able to make a way out of your situation, even if you cannot see how he can do it. So continue believing, continue trusting God. And so the other question that we also like to ask is why? Why is this happening to me? Why do I find myself in this situation? Why me? You know, why is this happening to us as a family? Why is this happening to us as a nation? And sometimes bad things happen for no apparent reason. And right now we are reading the Bible in 1 year Bible reading plan. And in the Old Testament, we are reading the book of Job. And one of the things that is clear in the book of Job is that sometimes bad things happen in our lives for no apparent reason. Not because there's anything that we have done to get ourselves into the situation that we are in. Job, it makes it very clear in the beginning that Job did nothing wrong. There's nothing that Job did wrong. Yet he found himself in a situation where he was undergoing severe, severe suffering. And he asked himself over and over again, why is this happening? You know, why am I suffering? And even his friends, you know, they were not really helpful to him in that situation. They were pointing out faults in him. And yet he was saying, I'm blameless. There's nothing that I did. And so sometimes in our lives, we'll find ourselves going through difficulties, going through horrible situations, not because there's anything that we have done to bring ourselves into those situations, but sometimes it is simply because we are living in a fallen world. You know, we are living with the presence of sin and evil, as I was even preaching last week about the reality and the presence of evil in our lives. But fortunately for us, in this particular instance, there is a reason. There is a why. There is a reason for which the children of Israel, the Samaritans, were actually suffering. Because if you go to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 28, verse 45 to 48, it gives us the reason for which they were suffering, the reason for which they find themselves in the current economic crisis that they found themselves in. And it says in Deuteronomy, chapter 28, verse 45 to 48, it says this. It says, all these curses will come on you. So this is Moses talking to the children of Israel, words that he was sent by God to tell them that, you know, these are the things that are going to happen in the future if you are not careful, if you do not walk according to the ways of God, if you do not do what God is telling you to do. These are the things that are going to happen in the future. So this is what it says. It says, all these curses will come on you. They will pursue you and overtake you until you are destroyed because you did not obey the Lord your God and observe the commands and decrees that he has given you. They will be a sign and a wonder to you and your descendants forever, because you did not serve the Lord your God joyfully and gladly in the time of your prosperity. Therefore, in hunger and thirst, in nakedness and dire poverty, you will serve the enemies of the Lord sends against you. He will put an iron yoke on your neck until he has destroyed you. And so this was years before this situation that they found themselves in actually happened. And so this was a warning to say, be careful. You are going to go into times of prosperity. You are going to go into times, you know, of plenty. You are going to go into times where you do not need or lack anything. But be careful, because if you are not careful in those times of prosperity to continue to follow the Lord, to continue to seek God, to continue to walk according to his word, according to his commands, then these things are going to happen. You're going to find yourself in these curses where you are serving your enemies. And I have found, I'm not sure about you, but I have found this disturbing thing about me, that whenever I find myself in comfortable times, in comfortable situations where everything is going right, that there is this tendency to withdraw from God. There's this tendency to not need God as desperately, to not do the things that I was doing, you know, before I found myself in those times. And that's just the nature that I have. And it is a disturbing thing indeed, because of the danger that it brings, you know, the inherent danger that it brings, which is what God is talking about with the children of Israel now. And he's saying you are going to go into times of plenty and of prosperity. You are going to be rich in the future. But be careful that you continue to do what God has commanded you to do. Because if you do not, then situations are going to turn. Then you're going to find yourself serving your enemies. He's going to put a yoke of iron, which talks about slavery. You're going to be slaves to your enemy in the future. And there will be poverty, which is what is happening right now. So this is the reason that they find themselves in the situation that they find themselves in right now. It's because they were not careful. They did not heed the warning. They did not heed the word of the Lord when he said, be careful, continue to walk, you know, humbly before me. Continue to serve the Lord your God the way that you were doing when you were still oppressed, you know, when you were still poor, when you were still struggling. Continue to serve God that same way. But they were not careful, and therefore they find themselves in the situation that God had warned them about. And so I do not know what's happening in your life, what situation you find yourself in. But I'd like to encourage you not to throw in the towel, not to give up, you know, not to give up on God, because God is still able to turn your situation. It doesn't matter how far your situation has advanced. It doesn't matter, you know, how bad your situation may look to the naked eye. But God is still able to overturn and to turn your situation around, even as he did to the children of Israel in this story. Because one of the things that God is known for, one of the characteristics of God, is that he is a merciful God. He shows mercy even to those that are not deserving of it. So even if you find yourself in a situation that you brought yourself in, use it through your actions, through the things that you have done, you are guilty, you know, it is your fault that you find yourself in the situation that you are in. God can still show you mercy. God can still turn your situation around. God can still do something in your own life and in your situation. Philippians chapter 4, verse 19 to 20. This is what Paul says to the Philippians. And I like this. He's so confident, and he speaks about something that he knows. There is no doubt in what he's saying. He says to the Philippians, "And my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. To our God and Father be glory forever and ever." And this is just showing, you know, Paul is talking to the Philippians and he's saying, God is able to do this, and he will do this. He will be able to supply all of your needs according to his riches in Christ Jesus. You know, so even in your life, in your situation, God is still able to meet each and every one of your needs. God is not powerless. The situation that you are going through is not beyond God's power and God's ability to provide and God's ability to deliver you from the situation that you find yourself in. And do not give up on God. Do not stop trusting. Do not stop believing. Continue trusting and believing in God. He can still come through for you in your situation. Humble yourself. Pray, you know, humble yourself. Seek God. Humble yourself. This is the key. We need to turn from our wickedness. We need to turn from our wicked ways and seek God if we find ourselves in a situation where, because of our actions, where we have done wrong, when we have rebelled against God, and we find ourselves in trouble, we need to humble ourselves and turn back to God and ask for forgiveness, and he will forgive us of our sins. The Bible assures us of that. And so the deliverance for the children of Israel, Elisha, the man of God, had prophesied, happened exactly as he prophesied it, exactly the following day. You know, around that time, the following day, it happened. And it happened completely miraculously. No one could have been able to predict that this was what God was going to do, or this was how God was going to deliver them, because he delivered them completely miraculously. And the account goes that when the enemy, which were the Syrians, when they were sleeping, you know, where they were sleeping around the city of Samaria in their camp, God was able to make them to hear sounds of horses, sounds of chariots, you know, sounds of an army that is coming towards them. And they concluded that, you know, the Samaritans, the king of Israel, had teamed up or hired other kings to come up and to fight their battles. And they decided that they are going to leave everything exactly as it is, and they are going to run. The only thing they took was the things that they were wearing and some of the weapons, and they ran and they fled, you know, because they believed that, you know, that the king of Israel had teamed up with other kings and they were now coming against them to fight them, that this was, you know, their end. And they made a decision to say, you know what, let us abandon everything, let us run away, let us save our lives. And this is how God came through for the nation of Israel and for the Samaritans in that instant. But God is also able to come through for you miraculously. He's also able to do miraculous things for you to deliver you from the situation that you find yourself in. So continue trusting God. Continue believing that God is able. If he was able to do it for them, he can do it for me. If he was able to do it then, he's still able to do it even now. My situation is not hopeless. My situation, you know, is not too bad. It's not worse than what God can do. God can still able. God is still able to come through for me even in my situation. Have faith. You know, let faith and hope arise. And I would like to end with this. This is what Paul says in the book of Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20 to 21. And he says, "Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations forever and ever. Amen." Believe this. Know that this is true, that God is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or even think. Not only the things that we ask for, but even the things that go across our minds, even the thoughts that go across our minds. He's able to even top that up. He's able to do even far more abundantly, more than what we even think in our minds. This is what God is able to do. So continue to trust God. Continue to believe that it is not too late, you know, that your situation is not hopeless, that God can still come through for you. And so that all glory and all praise and all honor may go up to his name. And let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much, Lord, that you are able, Lord God, regardless of the situation that we find ourselves in, that you are able, Father, to still deliver us, that you are able to come through for us, that you are able to provide for us, that you are able to sustain us in the situation that we find ourselves in. You are able, Lord God, to deliver us. And so we pray, Lord Jesus, for each and every person that is going through a difficult time right now. They may not be able to see the way forward. They may not be able to see how you're going to come through for them. But we pray, Lord, that you keep them standing, Father God, that we may not give up, that we may not throw in the towel, that we may not give in, Lord God, to what is happening around us, because you are able, Lord God Almighty. And I pray, Father God, for each and every person that is going through a difficult time, that you come through for them, that you provide for them, Father God, that you provide for them even miraculously, oh Lord God, as you did for the children of Israel, Father God, and the nation of Israel. And so we pray, Father, for each and every person right now, Lord God, that you make a way, Father, that you provide, that you may be the one who meets each and every one of their needs according to your riches in Christ Jesus, so that all glory and all honor and all splendor and all majesty may go to your name now and forevermore. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Continue trusting, continue believing, and continue trusting in God. Amen.
What a great teaching we've heard this morning. We hope your faith has grown along with what we've just heard. Indeed, God is able. If you are in need of help or you are able to assist, please do contact us on our WhatsApp number, which will appear on the screen. If you've joined us for the first time, please share your experiences with us, also on the same WhatsApp number. We hope to host you online next week as we continue to grow in our hearing of God's word and grow in faith. Enjoy your day and enjoy the rest of the week.